Titus chapter 3, verse 1, be continually reminding them to be submissive to rulers and authorities, and to obey them, that is, the rulers and the authorities, and to be ready for every good work. And again, the word good is the word agathos, which is the Greek word having to do with spiritual good. We've been spending much time just on this first section because, as I've said before, that this is what is plaguing the church. Paul told Timothy that in the last days, many will depart from the faith. That is, just putting their trust in the Lord. That's what the Holy Spirit is here for. He is here to persuade us to trust the Lord in spite of everything that's happening, in spite of who we are, what we think, and how we feel. God's Spirit is with us to persuade us and to convince us to just trust the Lord. One of my favorite scriptures, I think, summarizes the message of the New Testament about faith. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. Just be still. Let God take care of it. It's hard to be still. But in these last days, many will depart from the faith. And what will they be doing? They're going to be involved in works. They're going to be involved in doing God's work for Him. And it is a great movement today. Movement's called the Emerging Church, as churches are getting together to link their computer systems so that they're in sync with and in a system of the one world church. There's dominionism, where they're trying to become the one world church so that they can take dominion over the earth. Even lately, there has been talk about militant action, that Christians need to become more military and taking the world for Christ. That's all dangerous stuff. When Jesus came here on the earth, He ministered to a group of disciples and to a group of Jews who were under the Roman government, enslaved to them, held captive by them, and they were continually anticipating and looking for the Messiah to show up to set them free. When He didn't do that, instead He was crucified, and He died and was buried. They became very depressed and discouraged. They were still under the Roman yoke and still in slavery. Jesus didn't come to set them free from slavery. He came to set their hearts free to serve Christ within whatever circumstances they're in. But their whole idea of what the Messiah was supposed to do, the Messiah didn't do. And that's why many of them could not receive Jesus Christ as Messiah. Not just because He was a man, but because He didn't set the Jews free from the Roman government. So today we have a form of works where people are just standing around trusting, waiting for the Lord to come back, and somebody came up with the idea that we're just standing around doing nothing because we're the ones that are supposed to do it. And that the Lord can't come back until we, in a militant way, prepare this earth and take it back for Christ. Once we've taken it back for Christ, then Jesus can come the second time and set up His kingdom. That's the message that's going out today. That's dangerous. Not even in the Word, just the opposite of the Word. We have to be careful. We are to be ready for every good work. Sounds like we're supposed to be doing something. We're supposed to be ready for every good work. As I said, I've said each week, it doesn't say who does the work. It says we're supposed to be ready for every good work. But first of all, in John chapter 3, verses 3 and 6, Jesus told Nicodemus, that which is of the flesh is flesh, and that which is of the Spirit is spirit. Flesh can only produce flesh. The human effort cannot produce spiritual things. Only the Spirit of God can produce spiritual things. You remember the triangle that I mentioned, is that God is pleased with His Son. And God receives whatever His Spirit does. That's the triangle. Where do we fit into this? Well, God's Son has come to live within our spirits. Therefore, God blesses us not because of us, but because of his Son, whom he is pleased with. He's not pleased with me, he's pleased with his Son. And he only receives that which his Spirit produces. So as God's Spirit produces his work in me and through me, God is pleased with that because his Spirit is doing it. But not me. That which is of the flesh is flesh, that which is of the Spirit is spirit. Secondly, Isaiah 64:6, that tells us that our best works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. Thirdly, Romans 7:18, Paul says that in my flesh is no good thing, agathos. There's no spiritual good in my flesh. The reason, 7:23 of Romans tells us, is because in my flesh is the law of sin. Always will be. Romans 8:8 tells us that those who are in the flesh cannot please God. He's not pleased with the flesh or the fleshly effort. Fourthly, we saw from Matthew 16:24 that Jesus made a requirement that if we are going to be his disciple, first of all, we must deny ourselves, reject ourselves. We continue to function, but we make decisions based on rejecting what we want and submitting to what he wants. Jesus said, you must deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that we've been purchased with a price. Not only did Jesus die on the cross for my sins, but he purchased me. I am no longer my own. So the decisions that I make must be seeking him and his will. That was the fourth. The fifth thing we saw last week in Galatians chapter 3, where Paul says to the Christians in the region of Galatia, after having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? By faith you trusted Christ to save you. Continue to live by faith in the same way. Even back in Paul's day, they had problems with the Judaizers, the legalists coming into town saying, now that you're saved, you have to follow the law. We have it a different way. Now that you're saved, you got to follow these rules and regulations and put forth human effort so that Jesus can come back. Today, the sixth thing, we're in Ephesians chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, Ephesians chapter 2. Paul starts out Ephesians chapter 2 at verse 1, and you being dead with respect to trespasses and sins, in which once you walked according to the age of this world, according to the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit that is now energizing in the sons of the disobedience. Paul presents that everyone who has never received Christ is being energized by Satan, as we'll see in a moment, to fulfill the desires of the flesh and of the mind. There are only two kinds of people in life: people who are energized by God's Spirit and people who are energized by Satan. That's it. Religious belief in the head doesn't change the spiritual source under which people are influenced. There must be a spiritual birth. God's Spirit must come in. That's what it means to be saved. It means God's Spirit comes in and takes over. And he does away with, he loosens the works of the devil. Satan can no longer control that person's life. So he says, this is the ruler of the authority of the air, the spirit that is now energizing in the sons of the disobedience, in which also we all once conducted ourselves in the desires of our flesh, doing the will of the flesh and of the mind. And we were by nature children of wrath, as also the rest. The two greatest words in the Bible, but God. And that's who we were. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. Paul makes it very specific to say, while being dead, God did something. God, being rich in mercy, on account of his great love with which he loved us, and we being dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, for by grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together with Christ, and he has seated us together with Christ in the heavenlies, in Christ Jesus, in order that he might demonstrate in the coming ages the surpassing wealth of his grace in his kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you are saved through faith, and this is not of you. It is a gift of God. Not out of works, in order that not anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, having been created in Christ Jesus. Notice the literal translation I'm giving you. Created in Christ Jesus upon the basis of good works, which God prepared before in order that we should walk in them. The English text says that Christ has created us for good works. And many people use that to show that, well, he saved us, and he saved us and created us for good works, so we need to get with it. But it's literally upon the basis of good works, which God himself prepared ahead of time in order that we might walk in them. These are God's works. And it's been created upon the basis of good works. That's the good works of Christ. But even Paul himself, there are other pieces of scripture that people use in order to bring up this point about works. Matthew 5:16. After Jesus said, "You are the light of the world," Matthew 5:16, Jesus said, "Let your light shine before men, so that they might see your good works and they might glorify your Father in the heavens." Good works in context is the light. Let your light shine. They might see the good works and they might glorify your Father in the heavens. In 1 Timothy 6:18, concerning those people who are rich, Paul told Timothy, "Tell them to do good, to be rich in good works." Sounds like they need to be performing human effort. To Titus, in Titus 2:7, Paul says, "But concerning all things, holding yourself out as a pattern of good works, in teaching, in purity, in seriousness about the things of Christ, in incorruption." Sounds like works. But even Paul himself, it's interesting, Paul himself, concerning salvation, in Titus 3:5, he says, "Not out of works in righteousness, which we did, but according to his mercy he saved us through the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." So it's not works that we did that caused us to be saved. And then our calling as Christians, 2 Timothy 1:9. Concerning God, he says, "The one who has saved us and has called us with a holy calling, not according to our own works, but according to his purpose and grace, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus." We're not saved by our works, Ephesians tells us, along with 2 Timothy 1:9. Not out of our works, but out of the grace of God through faith. And our calling comes to us not to do our own works, but his purpose and grace, which has been given to us in Christ Jesus. Interesting, in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, Paul says, "All scripture is God-breathed and profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for discipline in righteousness, in order that the man of God might be complete, having been equipped for every good work. Word agathos. God says all Scripture is there for teaching, conviction, correction, and discipline in righteousness to prepare and make the believer complete for every good work. That is the spiritual work of God. Hearing and studying God's Word under the influence of God's Holy Spirit is what prepares us for the good work that's going to be done. But Paul himself, interesting, when he talked about his own ministry and his own walk with the Lord, he said in Ephesians 3:7 concerning the gospel, of which I became a servant according to the gift of the grace of God, which has been given to me according to the working of his power. The word working is energizing. He says, I've become a servant of Christ by the grace that God gave to me. And it is this grace that is energizing in me according to his power. He's attributing everything about his ministry to be from the grace of God, and that everything's been given to him, and that it is the power of God that is energizing in him to do the work. It isn't him. Colossians 1:29, concerning presenting every man mature, he says, unto which I also labor, by agonizing according to his energy, which is energizing in me in power. Paul is very specific to mention that the fact that he is laboring. In fact, the word labor means labor to the point of exhaustion. But he says, I'm doing it. I'm agonizing in this ministry. But it is according to the energy which is energizing in me in power that God has given. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and 13, two pieces of scripture that is always brought up to me. Philippians 2, 12 to 13, it says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Give it to you literally. Cultivate your own salvation with fear and trembling. The next verse says, For God is the one working in you both to will and to work on behalf of his good pleasure. You be involved in the cultivation of your own salvation that's been given to you. But he says in verse 13, for God is the one working, literally energizing in you, both to will and to energize on behalf of his good pleasure. His Spirit is in me in power to do what he wills and to do according to the energy of his Spirit that ministers to and through me. That's it. If somebody says, well, I don't see God working much in my life, he probably isn't. Maybe it's a time of study. Maybe it's a time of prayer. But if God doesn't do anything, that doesn't mean he wants you to do something. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20, Paul says, in benediction, now to the one being able, listen to this, this is literal, now to the one being able above all things, to do beyond from out of abundance what we ask or think according to the power energizing in us. At no time did Paul ever say that it was his works. And every time he mentioned about the ministry or the work of God in his life, he always attributed it to be the energy of God's Spirit working in his life in power, according to God's will, and according to his good pleasure. As I've said before, because the question comes up, well, if all this be true, what is our responsibility before God? Decision making. I always evaluate not only our ministry, but other people's ministries based on the decisions that the people make that are in that ministry. It's decision making. That's why in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, where it says that through the mercies of God, I encourage you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, whom you serve with your reasoning process. How it literally reads. The English text says, which is your reasonable service. But whom you serve with the reasoning process. I'm a living sacrifice. I'm alive, but I make decisions to deny myself, receive the death that Jesus died for me, and receive that death and surrender to the death of the flesh and to make decisions about what the Lord wants me to do. It's not about going to church. Not about going to Bible studies or concerts or rallies. It's about our decision making. If after we leave church and in our life, we just do whatever we think is right without consulting the Lord or seeking the Lord. There are times that I question our own ministry because of decision making that people make. Not seeking the Lord, not attempting to find out what the Lord wants. And most people who profess to be Christians basically don't seek the Lord for their decision-making. Nothing personal. They have a personal belief about Christ, but there's no interaction with him. It's as if he's at church, so I'll see him when I get to church. And I just live my life as I want. After all, I'm going to heaven. And the movement that is on today with the emerging church movement just feeds that. Go to church, and with the power of the Holy Spirit, you can bring about whatever you want. That appeals to the flesh. That's the opposite of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember, as I said at the beginning, Jesus said, when I come, will I find the faith upon the earth? Will I find faith? But Paul told Timothy, in the last days, many will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. The apostate church in the last days will not be trusting the Lord. They'll be taking over for him with a system of teaching and thought to encourage people to go out and fulfill what the Bible is saying. I always bring up the book of Acts. I hope someday you're able to sit down and just read through the book of Acts with one purpose in mind, studying the disciples and the early believers. They had no idea what they were doing. Not that they were ignorant of the scriptures. They weren't ignorant of the scriptures nor of the things of Christ. But they were ignorant of the working of God's Spirit. Even showed times of what we would consider lack of faith. God worked anyway. God's Spirit would fill them and take them over and minister through them and perform mighty miracles and signs. It wasn't because they enacted some kind of a formula or claimed some kind of a promise. They didn't even know what it was. Sometimes I think we're just so educated. We bring our worldly education into the church with all of our business practices and technology, and we think that that's what God wants us to do. And the early church was ignorant. They were just surrendered. It was God who worked in a mighty way. People wonder why in the church today, as a whole, God's Spirit doesn't move. Because we've taken over for him. He's not going to bless our efforts. Paul is the one who presented the fact that God's energy in him, God doing according to God's good pleasure, that was the source of his ministry. That was the source of his personal life with Christ. What is the Christian's job? Decision. A decision to surrender, a decision to follow, a decision to say, Lord, let your will be done. I will follow. Now, I can't do that. Just like with salvation, the word repentance means to make a decision for change. I can make a decision to change the direction of my life. I can make a decision to surrender my life to Christ, and I can make a decision to call upon Him to save me, but I can't save myself. Only He can save me. If I have to do something to get saved, I'm lost. Just as I made the decision by faith to surrender to Christ, so I live by faith, surrendered to Him. All of the human education and intellectualism is out the door. We're not talking about knowledge of God's Word. We're talking about just our way of handling things. We can do business for the Lord better today than they did in Paul's day. We have a better education and better world system. God didn't call us to do that. The seventh thing, very quickly, let me share with you about works. It's not just in the New Testament that describes for us the total dependency upon the working of God. In Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6, Zerubbabel was sent back to help rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. And God had a message for him. Zechariah 4:6 says, "Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord." He's saying, "Zerubbabel, I'm sending you back to rebuild the wall and to rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. But I have a message for you. It won't be by your power or your strength. It'll be by my spirit." Remember that. One of my favorite verses in the Bible, Psalm 127:1. Psalm 127:1. "Except the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who are building it." That verse tells us two things. It is possible for someone or a group of people to build God's house for him. Because it says, they labor in vain who are building it. I can be in the process of building God's buildings and building God's ministry and building God's church. But if the Lord doesn't build it, it's empty. It'll be destroyed. It'll be burned. There'll be no spiritual effectiveness whatsoever. So even in the Old Testament, the message was that it won't be by your strength and power, and that you need to watch, because if the Lord isn't building the house, then it's built in vain. That doesn't mean it won't be beautiful. It doesn't mean the building's going to come out wrong or not pass inspection. It just means spiritually it'll be for nothing, because God didn't do it. With the Old Testament and all the way through the New, the message is that God has saved us and created us for good works. In other words, we're not just saved and we just attend church and just kind of put in our duty time and go home. God has not only saved us so that we can have our sins forgiven and we can go to heaven and be with Christ forever, but He also has a function for us here on the earth, but it won't be our function. As Ephesians chapter 2 says, as we read, that God has created us upon the basis of good works that God prepared before, that we should walk in them. God has a work in and through each of us. God is ministering His Word to create inside of us, from His Word, to prepare us for His good work. But it is His Spirit that does the work. I have found over the years in my frustration, because I was frustrated that God wasn't using me, that the more I studied God's Word and the more I exposed myself to the ministry of God's Spirit through His Word, the more my life was changed, and that's what God used to minister to others. wasn't the knowledge of the Bible. It is the very presence, the very reality of the change that God brings about by His Spirit. Paul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 that he went through hard times and was comforted by God so that when he comes across others who are going through the same problems, he might minister that comfort to them. Over the years, I've been able to share with other believers pretty much what their ministry is going to be. By all the difficult, hard times that you're going through, to experience Christ in those difficult times. And once you have experienced that, God brings you across the path of another person who's going through the same thing. You're able to minister to them and minister the comfort of Christ, the things that you have experienced in Christ in those difficult situations, according to the ministry of God's Word. God's work. We are only clay vessels. We have not been appointed to do His work for Him. God has appointed His Spirit to do the work. But He prepares us for what He wants to use us for through the hearing of His Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's His design way. The more He changes us and ministers to us, the more He ministers through us that change, that reality in Christ. Next week, we're going to move on. In Titus chapter 3. But since the wording comes up in Paul's letters, to be ready for every good work, what does that mean? Who does the work? You can take it out of context and use it as motivation to get people to start working. But in context, the message of the Scripture is, yes, God wants us to prepare for every good work. But the good work is His work, not ours. It's done by His Spirit, not our human effort. Because God only receives and accepts what His Spirit does. He won't accept what I do. Close with prayer. Our Heavenly Father, thank You again for Your Word that ministers to our hearts. We are in a generation where technology is being used to link systems and groups, where seminars are being taught how to mobilize, become militant, taking back the world for Christ. Lord, help us to understand as we continue to study Your Word that it is only at Your second coming and Your reign upon the earth for 1,000 years that will bring the world under Your lordship here on the earth. It is not human effort, but rather You would have us to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, be an encouragement and a ministry to other believers first, and secondly, as the opportunity You give to us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with the unsaved. It's not rebuilding and remodeling and reforming the current world system. It's not what You're interested in, but rather the people of the world system are lost. They need to hear the good news about Jesus Christ. Teach us what all of these things mean, we pray, by Your Spirit, how important growth is, how important it is to understand about works, that it is our surrender to Your Spirit to work in us and through us according to Your will and the energy of Your Spirit. Teach us to seek You and make decisions to surrender to You, to be a living sacrifice, to deny ourselves, take up our cross daily and to follow You so that our lives will be effective for Christ. Pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.